It happened one day, near December's end. Two neighbors called on an old friend, and they found his shop so meager and lean, but made gay with thousand boughs of colorful green. Conrad was setting with face all ashine, when he suddenly stopped as he stitched on a twine, and he said, "Old friends, at dawn today, when the cock was crowing the night away, the Lord, our Lord, appeared in a dream to me and said, 'Conrad, Conrad, I'm coming, your guest to be.' So I've been busy, with feet astir, strewing my shop with branches of fir. See, the table is spread, the kettle is shined, and over the rafters the holly is twined. Now I'll wait for my Lord to appear, listening closely so I will hear his step. And as he nears my humble place, I'll open the door and look on his face." So his friends went home and left Conrad alone, for this was the happiest day Conrad had known. For long since, his family had passed away, and Conrad had spent many, many a sad, oh sad, Christmas day. But he knew, with our Lord as his Christmas guest, this Christmas would be the dearest and best. So he listened with only joy in his heart, and with every sound he would rise with a start to look for his Lord to be at his door, like the vision he had had just a few hours before. Ah, he ran to the window after hearing a sound, but all he could see on the snow-covered ground was a shabby beggar whose shoes were torn and all of his clothes were ragged and worn. But Conrad was touched, so he went to the door and he said, "Oh, my friend, your feet must be frozen and sore. Here, here, I have some shoes in my shop for you. And, oh, a coat that will keep you warmer, too." With grateful heart, the beggar went away. Then Conrad noticed the time of day and wondered what made the Lord so late and how much longer he'd have to wait. Then he heard a knock. He ran to the door, but oh, it was only a stranger once more. This time a bent old lady with a shawl of black, a heavy bundle of kindling piled on her back. She asked for only a place to rest, but that place was reserved for Conrad's great guest. But her voice seemed to plead, "Oh, don't send me away. Please, let me rest here just for a while this Christmas day." So Conrad brewed a warm steaming cup and invited her, "Here, please, please, sit at my table and sup." But after she left, he was filled with dismay, for he saw that the hours were again slipping away, and the Lord hadn't come, and he said he would, and Conrad began to feel he had misunderstood. Then, out of the stillness, he heard a cry, "Please, please help me and tell me, where am I?" So again he opened his friendly door and stood disappointed, as twice before. It was only a child who had wandered away and was lost from her family on this Christmas day. Again, Conrad's heart was heavy and sad, but he knew in his heart he should make this little girl glad. So he called her in, and he wiped her tears and quieted away her childish fears as he led her back to her home once more. As he returned to his own darkened door, he knew the Lord was not coming today, for the hours of Christmas had long passed away. So he went to his room and knelt down to pray. And he said, "Oh, dear Lord, Why did you delay? What kept you from coming to call on me? For I wanted so much your face to see. Then, soft in silence, a voice he heard. Conrad, Conrad, lift up your head, for I kept my word. 3 times I came to your lonely door, and 3 times my shadow crossed your floor. You see, I was the beggar with bruised cold feet, and I was the woman you gave something to eat. And lastly, yes, I was the child on the homeless street. 3 times I knocked, and 3 times I came in, and each time I found the warm kindness of you, my dear, loving friend. Of all the gifts, love is the best, and I, your Lord, was honored to be your Christmas guest.
For many of us, Christmas is a time of year that holds some of our dearest memories. We're introduced as kids to this season that brings our loved ones together and is filled with celebration. We sang songs, set up nativities, decorated houses. We learned Christmas is actually a real story with shepherds, wise men, Joseph and Mary. The story of when God the Father gave his son. But now that I have children of my own, it feels like the story of Christmas is simply a story about more. More toys. More things. And even though I'm the parent, I gotta admit that in all the busyness, I buy into it too. I've traded away the best story in the world for what's on sale. But what if God had something better than this for all of us? I want to show my kids the real story of Christmas this Advent season. And honestly, I don't know what this will mean for our family. I hope it changes the way we spend money, who we bless, the type of gifts we give, and just how we talk and think about Jesus. The story of Christmas isn't told with free 2-day shipping or Black Friday deals. The story of Christmas changed the world. So, shouldn't it change us?
Well, next week in the life of HFCN is always an exciting week for me. For about 7 years now, we've celebrated an event we call Advent Conspiracy. Statistics say this year in the United States, $450 billion will be spent on Christmas, which is an astounding number. So the message of Advent Conspiracy is not don't celebrate, it's not don't exchange gifts, it's not forget the traditions. It's simply asking, is there a way that we can give a little bit differently? And in doing so, maybe we can give a little bit of that money to others, to love the world. And so Advent Conspiracy next week, 5 to 8 p.m. here in this room. You can come and you can make creative gifts for loved ones. And whatever shopping money you have left at the end of the night, you can give this year to Village to Village, which helps provide sustainable living, clean water, education, different things around the world, as you see on the screen. And so you're invited. What an incredible opportunity is for families, for all generations to be here. There's food and live music and a great time to just do Christmas, maybe the way that Jesus wanted us to do it. I don't know. But I pray you'll know you're invited. If you want more details, there's catalogs available out in the lobby, outside Kids Church. We would love for you to come. You are invited. Well, this morning, it's really a joy to be here with you. Pastor Kerry is away in the Holy Land of North Carolina today, so he asked me to come and share. And what a privilege, yet a burden I feel sharing during the Advent season. And so all week as I prayed I felt like the Lord put specific message on my heart. And my question really for us this morning is, what do you want for Christmas? We ask that a little bit in our house from time to time to certain little ones, you know. And I'm not really talking about stuff. Maybe that disappoints you. Maybe you thought this is going to be one of those shows where I ask you what you want and I have it backstage and bring it out to you or something. Great reveal. We'll let Oprah do that. I'm not talking about stuff today. I'm talking about really today, what do you want for Christmas? I mean, there's somebody here today that you just want hope. I mean, you just look at the world and it just seems in chaos and you feel chaos inside and you would just say, Adrian, today, I just want hope for Christmas. Hope. Or maybe somebody just says joy. Like, my circumstances right now are really hard. And man, I just want joy this Christmas. I just want to be able to experience that joy. Maybe today some of us would say peace. I just want peace in my heart, in my family, in my life. Maybe today you're just angry. And you would say, man, for Christmas, if the Lord could just help me, I'm done with anger. I want to be beyond that. I just wonder today what it would mean for you to celebrate Christmas differently. Well, there's two words as I was praying over our time together today that I think it means for us this Christmas season, and it's the words worship fully. I was talking after the first service to a couple and just said, you know, some of us, we come into the Christmas season and we're struggling and we feel guilty about it. Like, Christmas is supposed to be happy and joyful, and yet we're struggling. There's this guilt we feel. Like, I thought this is supposed to be cheers and ho, 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 and you know. And so I just want to invite you today not to a feeling, not to an emotion, not to a mountaintop high experience. I just want to invite you what it would mean to really worship fully on a season where there's a lot of good things and a lot of tradition and a lot of fun, but really I don't want to get through it all or just survive it and then look back and say, man, where was Jesus in that? Like, did I just show up and go through the motions and then really miss experiencing him in a real way? And so I want to invite me, what would it mean to worship fully? We're going to dive into the story of Christmas. Now, that's not a new story to many of us, but today I want to focus on the characters in the story and ask if we enter into the story, maybe for the first time, maybe trying to imagine what it would be to experience the story through their eyes. There are three different words, three different commands that I find pretty evident for us. And so the first word I want to speak about today is the word obey. If we're to worship fully this Advent season, it's this word obey. And to do that, I want to focus on two characters that you know pretty well, Mary and Joseph. If you would turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, we're going to spend some time in Luke and Matthew's Gospel today to dive into the story. I'm going to be reading from the God's Word translation. It will be on the screen behind me, but you follow along in your version because it's important that you have the story in front of you. This holiday season, man, let's spend time in the story and invite God to help us. So Mary, this idea of obey, in Luke 1, starting with verse 28, it says this, when the angel entered her home, Mary's home, he greeted her and said, you are favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you. She was startled by what the angel said and tried to figure out what this greeting meant. The angel told her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son. Name him Jesus. He will be a great man. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Your son will be king of Jacob's people forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, how can this be? I'm a virgin. The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child developing inside of you will be called the Son of God. Elizabeth, your relative, is 6 months pregnant with a son at her old age. People said she couldn't have a child, but nothing is impossible for God. Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant. Let everything you've said happen to me. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, the other character in our story, Joseph, who, just like Mary, was forced with a very difficult decision. While different, Joseph finds out that Mary, his fiancée, is pregnant. That's kind of a big deal. In fact, he finds out that she's supposedly pregnant through the Holy Spirit, which is a very weird deal. He's faced with a choice. And his choice is, I'm going to divorce her quietly so that she doesn't have any public disgrace or shame. And then our story picks up here in Matthew 1, starting with verse 20. So Joseph had this in mind when an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said to him, Joseph, descendant of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. It means he saves. Because he will save his people from their sins. All this happened so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet came true, that the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son. They will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Don't miss this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. And there it is. Beneath all the story, beneath all the details, beneath the unbelievable circumstances, there it is. In one sentence, we see obedience. In Mary's story, it's in Luke 1, verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. Let everything you said happen to me. That's a statement of obedience. For Joseph, it's not his own words, but simply Matthew stating that when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel said to do. It's obedience. See, sometimes our obedience, it's not flashy. It's not showy. It's in the fine print. But if we're not careful, we miss that important obedience. You see, for us this morning, if we're going to talk about worshiping fully, we have to talk about obedience, because obedience is worship. It is. I mean, I love singing and worshiping, and like we do that, you know, and I love that. I love coming together with you guys and worshiping here through song as a community. But if you think that's all that worship is, then you're missing the fact that your day-to-day obedience is in your life is how you worship him. And so let's not come to this Advent season, let's not go through the motions and kind of a wave at God, hey, happy birthday, Jesus. And just pretend like our obedience doesn't matter to him. Maybe it matters more than anything else today. And so I'm asking you today, what is God asking you to do? What obedience is he requiring from you? He's not asking for sacrifice. He's not asking for stuff. He wants you. He wants your obedience. Maybe this Christmas season, what is it that's on the other side of your yes? Like if you would just trust him enough, if you would just have faith in him enough to say yes to him, there's something on the other side of that that you have not yet experienced. He's just waiting for you to trust him, to obey him. You see, obedience begins in an instant. Oh, but it lasts for a lifetime. Think about Mary. She said, yes, let it be to me, as you've said. But then for 9 months, this baby is growing inside of her, kicking. She feels the baby. She feels Jesus inside her, the Holy Spirit. Imagine her and Joseph out in public with her 6-7 months pregnant in the comments and, oh, that's the Holy Spirit's baby. You know, like, can you imagine that for a minute? We make obedience like, oh, yeah, she. But this is a lifetime of obedience as Mary stood there and watched Jesus hang on a cross. There's obedience in that. And so I'm asking you today, what is on the other side of that for you? And you're hesitant, and you're struggling, and you come to this season, and you want to tell me about your circumstances, and I understand that your circumstances are hard, but I'm just here to say, have you obeyed him? Because maybe that's the thing that's holding you back from really worshiping fully this Christmas season. I want to talk to you about another word. That word obey is important, but I want to talk to you another word that you really can't get past this time of year, and it's the word give. Now calm down, exhale, we're not going to pass the plates, okay? So just relax, relax, it's okay. But you can't enter this story and not see that giving mattered. It did. Look at in the Gospel of Matthew, look at our next cast of characters, the wise men, the magi. Why else would this be in the story, our story that we're entering today, if giving didn't matter? Listen to what it says in Matthew 2, starting with verse 9, the star they had seen led them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were overwhelmed with joy to see the star. When they entered the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. We're talking about worshiping, right? They worshiped him. Then they opened up their treasure chests and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. man, you can't read this story and say, well, giving doesn't matter. I mean, it's in the story that they gave to this Savior, to this Jesus. And you know, their gift, sure, it was the treasures, but their gift was as much about the journey that took them there. I mean, they traveled for days and days and days following a star, believing in a promise that they had not yet seen, so that they could come and lay their gifts at the feet of King Jesus. I'm going to ask you today, like, if you want to worship fully this Christmas season, maybe it's about giving today. I want to tell you a story. About 6 years ago, I got to go to a youth conference in Louisville with a group of our students and students from all over the United States. And each group there had to do a service project in the community. And so our service project as a group was to throw kind of like a block party in this downtown area of Louisville. And so we came that day. I don't even remember all the details. It was a while ago, but I remember we had inflatables, which are just magnets for kids. You know, you put one out, 40 kids are on it. So we had one of those, and we had face painting and balloons and you got to have candy, you know, just throwing candy out everywhere and fun music. And it was just it was an incredible afternoon that we got to spend partnering with this ministry in this neighborhood of Louisville. And I'll never forget, it was time to go, and we were kind of saying bye to the kids and cleaning up, and I'm starting to walk back to the bus, and there's this little boy with chubby cheeks. Man, I don't even know his name. He's a precious little boy. And he came up to me, and he stuck out his hand. In his hand was a Tootsie Roll. Now, I'm not going to disparage Tootsie Rolls. My son cried this morning about a Tootsie Roll, actually. I found that out. But Tootsie Rolls, to me, they're like the lowest form of candy. I mean, it's like Tootsie Roll, Smarty, Dum Dum, like peppermint. Do we call that candy? I don't know. That's like right there on the same. Every other candy is like upper echelon, and that's, so, you know, I'm not looking at this Tootsie Roll saying, oh man, yeah. So I politely said, like, oh, that's okay. No, thanks. And then he just kept smiling at me, and he held it out. And then I realized something about this little boy. I realized that this little boy was so overwhelmed by the circumstances of that day. We were so overwhelmed that we came into his community and threw the best party that he'd ever had probably in his life. I mean, he's got candy shoved in every pocket and every, you know. It's almost as if he was so overwhelmed that he just wanted to give me something. It's almost like he didn't know how to say thanks. It wasn't that his mom said, hey, go give him Tootsie Roll. You know, he just came up to me and he just wanted to give me something. And so he saw this Tootsie Roll and said, and I just knew in that moment, I got to take this from him. I got to take it. And in fact, like, it's been hanging on my desk ever since then. This is the Tootsie Roll. Like, I have it. I think my kids haven't seen it, or it probably would have gotten eaten, you know. But it's a rock. It's really hard. But I keep it on my bulletin board. And I almost forgot about that story until this week. And I'm thinking about giving, and I think, you know what? This is us, this Christmas season. When we acknowledge the gift that has been given to us, it's almost as if in our hearts we're so overwhelmed, we don't even know what to do, and so we just come to Jesus with a Tootsie Roll and say, what can I give you for Christmas, Jesus? I mean, you gave me everything, so I just want to give something. What do you want? Oh, Jesus, you want me to show compassion? I'll do that. Jesus, you want me to spend some time with my neighbor across the street that's lonely? I'll do that. Oh, Jesus, you want me to give here? Whatever you want, Jesus, because you gave it all for me. I got nothing really to give, but what I have, Jesus, is yours. And I wonder if we stop giving out of guilt, stop thinking of what I have to give, what I have. No, no, no. Start thinking about what you have received. And then, like David said, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. I'm not just talking about, I got a dollar in my pocket. Good luck. I'm talking about really prayerfully thinking about, man, what do I need to give this Christmas season? Not because I have to, but because I want to. Because I have been given much. And I have been blessed with much. And man, I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship, and I'm going to do that by giving something. Maybe for you, it's not money at all, because that's too easy. Maybe it's yourself. Maybe it's your presence. Maybe, I don't know what it is, that text message you need to send or that phone call. But just give yourself this Christmas. And I promise as you do, you will worship fully. You will come and you'll be gathered around the Christmas tree, or you'll be here on Christmas Eve or wherever you'll be, and it'll just be more meaningful to you. And it's not about an emotion. It's not about a feeling. It's about obedience, and it's about saying, Lord, you gave everything for me. I want to give you what I have. What I have to give may not be much. It might just be a Tootsie Roll. But man, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey you, God, and I'm going to give. I want to talk to you about one more word. That's the word. It's my favorite word. It's the word receive. Receive. our cast of characters continues with a group of shepherds, right? Lowly shepherds out in the field. They teach us what it means to receive. I'm going to read this from Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. It says this. It says, shepherds were in the fields near Bethlehem. They were taking turns watching their flock during the night, and an angel from the Lord suddenly appeared to them. The glory of the Lord filled the area with light. They were terrified. The angel said to them, don't be afraid. I have good news for you, a message that will fill everyone with joy. Today, your Savior, Christ the Lord, was born in David's city. This is how you will recognize him. You'll find an infant wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, a large army of angels appeared with the angel. They were praising God by saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those who have his goodwill. The angels left them and went back to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem and see what the Lord has told us about. Now, I don't know exactly how the rest of the story might have looked, but it could have looked something like this. Watch this.
He is for all mankind. We are each given a gift.
Receive. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Goes on to say this in Luke chapter 2, verse 20. It says, as the shepherds returned to their flocks, they glorified and praised God for everything they had seen and heard. Sounds like worship to me. I don't know how you walk typically in your day-to-day life. It's hard if someone asks you to walk, because then you feel like, but I would probably walk like this. But if I'm returning to my flock, glorifying and praising God, I'm probably like, I don't know what it looks like. But there's some worship going on, like, as they're walking. They're not in church. They're not singing. They're not gathered at the temple. They're worshiping, going back to their flocks. Like, why? Because they had received that gift of the baby. They had nothing to give. We don't give so that we can receive. You understand that, right? Like, okay, this is going to happen to you sometime. You're going to get to the office. There's going to be a present on your desk. And no. Right? Instead of being excited that somebody gave you a gift, your first thought is going to be, who got me? We weren't doing this year. We weren't exchanging. And then you open it up, and it's like a $25 gift. What am I going to do now? I got to get them a $25 gift. Great. Or you already got them a gift, and it was a $10 gift. So now you're embarrassed. They got a $25 gift for you. So now you have to pretend like you left part of their gift at home so that you can equal out the giving. Oh, that wasn't your whole gift. Craziness what we do, right? Like, when's the last time you could just receive a gift and not say, like, oh, I have to repay this, or oh, I didn't get you something, or you just receive it. We're lousy at this, aren't we? I mean, just receive it. And we don't give to get. No, we receive. And I just wonder if we need to revert back to that childhood state. When I give my kids a gift this Christmas, they're not going to open and be like, Dad, this is too much. I can't receive it. Father, I spent $5 on your keychain. I cannot accept this gift. Now I must get you another. They don't do that. They jump and they dance and they receive it, because that's a gift given to them out of love for you, for them. Man, do you know today the gift that you've been given? I mean, seriously, do you get this? That baby in the manger was for you. For you, for you, for you, for me, your Savior was born. And today, you don't have to earn that. You don't have to be good enough for that. Your righteousness is like filthy rags, but you have a choice today to receive that gift, to receive it. I love this quote that Albert Einstein said. Who knew we were going to talk about Albert today, right? It says, there are two ways you can live. You can live as if nothing is a miracle, or you can live as if everything is a miracle. That guy was pretty smart, and he said that, okay? So we have a choice today. We can read this baby in the manger story that we've read so many times, and we can just say, okay, this is the thing. Or we can realize, man, that is my gift. in today. I'm not going to just show up. I'm not just going to get through the holiday season. I'm going to receive that gift. That baby was born for me, and that baby would grow up, and he would take my place, because the wages of sin is death. I deserve death. I deserve punishment. But that baby, that Emmanuel, God with us, loved us enough to come and walk on this earth, to become he who had no sin, became sin for me, and he took my place. So this Christmas, I have a choice. I can choose to receive that gift, or I can choose to say, oh, I got to give something. I got to earn it. I just receive today. You were loved. You were worthy. Receive that today. Inhale that today. Just understand that today. Your price has been paid. Your debt forgiven. Receive that. And we don't give to get that. We don't give to earn that. Giving is a response from that. Obedience is a response from that. We don't do those things so that we can somehow earn this gift. No. You can't earn it. Good luck. You can't repay it. Stop trying. Receive it today. I guarantee you, your Christmas will be different. I guarantee you, you'll be gathered with the family, and maybe not today, but one day you'll just be there in the moment, here, wherever it is, and you'll just be overcome with joy, and it's nothing to do with emotions and nothing to do with tradition and everything to do with you are worshiping fully the God who came for you and for me. And I ask you to stand, if you would, in this moment. I want to have an opportunity to pray for you and with you today. I want to pray that your heart would worship in a way maybe it never has this Christmas season. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to just pray for you today. Father, I don't know if anyone else can relate to this morning, but I'm just kind of done getting through Christmas. I'm kind of done just surviving it. I'm done with just the hustle and the bustle and what do we have to do next? I want it to be more. I want it to be meaningful. Because this matters, God. It matters to you. And so forgive us when Christmas is just emotions. Forgive us when it just becomes empty stuff. Help us today, God, to return to our first love, to receive the gift that was given to us so freely you gave. Thank you, God. I can't earn that. Adrian Mills can't earn that today. But I receive it today. I'm humbled. I'm grateful. I'm overwhelmed. And God, I want to worship you fully. I want to obey you this Christmas. I want to obey you in the small things, in the little things. I want to give you full rein in my heart. I want to take the back seat and let you drive the whole way. God, I want to give, but I'm not going to give out of obligation. I'm not going to give out of feeling guilty. I'm not going to give because others think. I just want to give out of the overflow of my heart, that Tootsie Roll extended out saying, God, I have nothing without you. Thank you. What a debtor I am. I pray for my brothers and sisters today that you would do something new in their hearts today, that you would do miracles in their life today, that you would transform them by your power, help them to trust you like never before and experience you in this season, God. We love you. We're reaching out for you today, and you've already reached out for us. Thank you, God. You're so faithful. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Your King has come. He's here. He's among us. Pray today you'll receive that. Maybe for the first time. Today, if you would like to respond in a specific way, you'd like someone to pray with you, we have a team that would love to spend a couple minutes praying with you today at the well across from the cafe. Maybe you need help obeying God or trusting Him. Or maybe today you say, I want to receive that gift. Somebody would love to meet with you and pray with you today. Also, one more opportunity next week to give. We have our Drummer Boy offering. And if you're part of our family here at HFCN, you know this is an offering we take once a year. And we designate this for those within our own family, our own church family that have needs this Christmas. So it's just a great opportunity. It's an offering that I love, enjoy giving to be a part of. I'm grateful and humbled to be a part of a church that loves and looks out for each other. Let's pray today before we leave. Father, our hearts are full today, I believe, because we've been given much. And I also acknowledge today that the holidays are really hard for some of us. Some of us in this room have dealt with loss, great loss. And our circumstances sometimes prevent us from being able to worship fully. And so I'm praying for those today that fall into that category. They know who they are. And I'm asking today that they would receive you in a different way, that you would be their Prince of Peace, their Comforter. Praying specifically for Kathy Wilcoxon, the loss of her brother, Robert Long. I know this season is painful for those, God, but I'm just asking you to comfort and bring joy, God, beyond our circumstances, beyond what we can see. We trust you, God, and we're so grateful for Christmas. So grateful for this opportunity, God, as Christians to celebrate the great gift that we've been given. We love you today, and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.